talking about welfare. I'm talking about food stamps, WIC checks. I'm talking about people who don't speak the language, who want to live in this country, not become U.S. citizens, but want to be entitled to all the benefits of our tax dollars. I'm talking about people that come through my line in the grocery store buying groceries I can't afford to buy for my own family, and they don't even speak the goddamn language. Well, somebody taught them how to say which way to the welfare office, because they found my tax dollars with no problem. The store I work at is predominantly a Spanish neighborhood, but the store I worked at before that was predominantly a Black and Armenian neighborhood, and it's the same wherever you go. The only difference is the Armenians learn enough language just to be rude to you, whereas the Spanish people don't bother to learn any of the language at all. Or if they do, they keep it a secret from you and pretend they don't speak English so they can find out what you're saying about them behind their back, so to speak. One of the worst things the Mexican people do, though, is they fake it. They pretend they know what you're talking about. I walked up to one guy and I said I was going to take him as the next customer because I was going to open up my check stand, and I said, have you started to put your groceries out on this conveyor belt, sir? And he said, yes. And I could see clearly that he hadn't. And I said, you mean these are your groceries right here? And he said, yes. And I said, well, because if you haven't started to put your groceries out, I'll take you next in my line. But you've already started to put your groceries out. He said, yes. I said, okay. So I took the customer behind him. Pull her over to my register. She starts to put her groceries out. He gets pissed. He's like, why you not take me? Why you not take me? I felt like saying, you blew it, buddy. You pretended to know what I was talking about. Now you got to pay the consequences. What if I had come up to you and said, excuse me, sir, can I kill you and take all your money? Yes. Oh, really? Can I put Clorox in your eyes and set your head on fire? Yes. Really? Allow me then to rape your wife and shit on your dog. Oh, yes. Why you no take me? I no take you because I'm not from immigration, you fucking fat-ass bastard. Then you got those Armenian guys. This one guy used to come up to me all the time. One-word commands. He wouldn't ask me any questions with any nice, polite pleases and thank yous and excuse me, sirs. It was simply, ice cream! Ice cream, sir? Ice cream! Oh, you want to know where ice cream is? Ice cream! Oh, ice cream. It's over there on aisle number 10, sir. You can't miss a big, giant frozen section, sir. Juice! I beg your pardon? Juice! Oh, no, I'm not Jewish. No, juice! Juice! Oh, aisle 5, sir. Left-hand side, right over there. Try to be polite to a jerk like this, huh?
Sugar! Sugar!
Aisle 7, sir.
Shotgun!
Oh, shotgun, sir, right here. Let me place it up your ass and pull the trigger, sir. One day I blew his mind. He comes to me and he goes,
oil!
I said, oil, sir?
He said, oil!
I said, certainly, sir. What kind of oil would you like, sir? Would you like motor oil, salad oil, castor oil, vegetable oil, baby oil, suntanning oil, sewing machine oil, lamp oil, olive oil?
Oil's well that ends whale? Oil shibe?
Or oil of voulet, sir? His fucking head exploded. He's like, Didn't faze him, and he was in the next day.
Pork and beans!
Shotgun, sir? Certainly. Here, let me place it up the ass and pull the trigger. Then there's the Asians. They own every goddamn laundromat, video store, convenience mart, chicken outlet, gas station, whatever you name it. They open it up. They fill all the jobs with their family members, so they're not even giving any work to any of the people that live in the neighborhood, but they're willing to stay in the neighborhood and take those people's money. At the same time, as they don't learn the language, they treat the customers rudely, and they like to talk about you in their own language to each other while you're standing there in front of them. You know, you go in, you give them your business, and it's like,
hello, how are you today? Give me your money. Thank you. Have a nice day. Now, get fuck out of the store, please. Get fuck out of the store. Oh, you go now. I talk to my family member about you now in language you no understand, okay? Bald man.
My wife gets her nails done at this beauty salon, right? Okay, the whole idea behind this is you get a manicurist, she does a great job, you tip her above and beyond the actual fee, and then she does such a good job that every time you call, you ask for her, she builds a clientele of tippers, and that's how she stays in business. But these people, for God's sakes, you walk in there, they're doing your nails, they're talking to each other and ignoring you, talking in their own language. I go with my wife, I wait, you know, I look through the magazines, it's like sitting in a goddamn giant parrot cage. They're all, these people don't use words, they use sound effects. It's like, the same sounds you'd make if you were in pain is conversation with these people. If you were to twist your testicles around and around a circle with a crescent wrench, the sounds that would emanate from your throat is the same tonal qualities that these people use to communicate. Now, the ladies having their nails done, they think that they're just having casual conversation going on between the girls. But no, how do we know that they're not talking about their customers? For all we know, the girls are saying things like, hey, check out this 300-pound blimp I'm working on. I feel like poking her with this nail file and see if she flies around the room like a deflated balloon. The other girls over there, yeah, well, this bitch never fucking tips me. I'm using half the glue, so these nails will be flying off in 2 days. Then in the middle of doing the nails, they take, appointments over the telephone. It's like, hello? Yeah, what you want? Who you want to see? You want to see Nancy? Nancy? When you want to see Nancy? How about Wednesday at 9:30? Thursday at 7? No, how about Wednesday at 9:30? Friday at 10? No, how about Wednesday at 9:30? Next Tuesday at 11:30? Or how about Wednesday at 9:30? Tell you what, you no make Wednesday at 9:30 with Nancy. I give you 3 weeks next Friday at... Okay, go. Wednesday at 9:30. That's fine. You see Nancy. Okay, fine. Okay, now get fuck off the phone. You get fuck off of the phone now. And they talk to the customers. It's like, you go pick out color. Go pick out color now. And the customer's like, I'm sorry, what? You go pick out color now. My wife's so scared of these people, she tips them big time. So like, maybe that's how it works. I don't know. But, you know, while I was there, they got the TV set there for the people sitting in the waiting room. And, you know, everybody who's having their nails done, they can watch television. They put it on daytime soaps? No. Do they put it on even an all-Japanese radio station? No, they don't do that either. When I was there, they were playing Godzilla 85. Yes, the 20-year later remake of the Godzilla movie, both of which starred Raymond Burr. So I got the Viewmaster effect of the Asian language torture program. Women speaking to each other in the room, in this oriental language, and on the phone, and in the background, a television movie in which people were speaking in this oriental language. Felt like the girl on the Morton salt container just going on endlessly and endlessly forever. Have a nice day. You can fuck out of store now. Then on the road, you know, I don't mean to sound like I'm generalizing people, but let's say it, you know, every time you get behind a guy who's moving like 5 miles an hour or he's crossing a bridge with his turn signal going, he's got a safety belt dragging along the ground, raising sparks. He's driving down the middle of the road, swerving back and forth, not because he's drunk, because he has no idea which way to go. It's usually an Asian driver when you pass them by. It's like you roll down your window, hey, moron! Why don't you go faster?
You're trying to find address. I'm trying to see address for place I am going to.
Well, here, let me lean out the window and straighten out your eyes a little bit. Maybe you'll be able to find that address.
Oh, thank you very much. I see much better now. Oh, yes.
You know, you go up one of those little restaurant stands, and it's like, I'd like a chili, you know what, a chili burger with extra grilled onions, please? Oh, yeah, you want chili burger and onion ring, right? No, no onion rings. I want a chili burger with extra grilled onions on it. Oh, yeah, chili cheese fry with onions. No, I don't want any chili cheese fries. I just want a chili burger with extra grilled onions on it. Yeah. Okay, how many milkshake you want? No, I don't want any milkshakes. I want a chili burger with extra grilled onions on it. No, we sell no pancakes now. You have to order breakfast before 10 o'clock. No, I want a chili burger with extra grilled onions. Okay, order be ready in 2 minutes. You get the fuck out of line now. Get fuck out of line. And speaking of driving, what the hell did they invent turn signals for? What the hell are we doing paying extra when we buy a car to have turn signals? If you try to use them while you're driving down the freeway, you alert all the drivers you want to change lanes, causing them to speed up so they don't end up behind you, making you wait 15 minutes while all the cars pass you by that don't want to end up behind you, and you miss your turnoff, and you're late for your appointment, and you get fired, and your wife leaves you, and your kids die in terrible drug overdose accidents. So what you do is you don't turn your turn signal on, and you just dart in as quick as you can in front of people. It's the only way you can change lanes. And the crime problem... You know, you drive along, you see, in broad daylight, two gang members spray-painting graffiti on the side of a bridge. You're thinking to yourself, where the hell are the cops when this kind of stuff is going on? 5 minutes later, you find out exactly where the hell the cops are as they pull you over because you were speeding. Hey, they don't even have to catch you for speeding anymore. They can pull you over because they think that your light bulb of your license plate is burned out, and then they're giving you a ticket because you laminated your driver's license. So the next time, to avoid the ticket, you don't laminate your driver's license. It goes through the laundry. You get a ticket because you've defaced the driver's license.
Sir, this thing's mutilated. I can barely read it. I'm afraid I'm going to have to cavity search you. Step out of the car.
Hey, motherfucker, I pay your salary. You are a public servant. Got that? Okay, public servant, bring me a glass of water. In fact, the cavity searches are the only fun part about being arrested. I mean, all I can say is it don't stop. Do it.
That's why I'm such an angry man. That's why I'm so negative. I'm so cynical. I'm so pessimistic. I love it. It's the only way you can go out there in the world and face everybody face to face and beat them at their own game. You gotta admit it's a sad state of affairs when more people show up for a Howard Stern book signing than voted in last year's presidential election. And all this attention to Michael Jackson, this media thing, he's guilty! For fucking Christ's sakes, he's guilty! Put the lily-white black man on death row, serve him his last supper, have it catered by Jeffrey Dahmer, he can serve finger sandwiches, John Wayne Bobbitt can bring the weenies, then strap Michael down, drill a hole in his head, and let the Hershey syrup spill out! Get this thing over with already! But no, it don't stop. Do it.
I gotta get out of here. I want my kids to grow up in a safe neighborhood. I want them to be able to go over to their friend's house to play like I did when I was a kid. I can't do that anymore. You don't know who's living and where, what their lifestyle's like. Sweet little Davy, and you send Christopher or Megan over there to the house to play, and there lurking behind bedroom number 2 is Uncle Louie looking for sexual molestation victim number 37.
Or, little boy, you can have what Jay's bringing down the aisle.
It's like, what, Christopher? Uncle Louie did what to you? I thought you were over at Davy's house playing, video games.
I was, Dad. It's just that Uncle Louie said I could be the joystick.
California, land of the dead, home of the depraved. The only culture out here is in the dairy shelf in a yogurt container. Angeline's face is everywhere in Hollywood. Who the hell is Angeline? You can stand 5-minute drive away from the mountains and not see them because of the smog. You can't even enjoy the beach anymore because there's gang members lurking down there.
What the hell are gang members doing at the beach?
I just came out here because I wanted to let my tattoos catch a little rays.
I'll give you a raise. Here, let me place the shotgun up your ass and pull the trigger. Here's a common sound in California. Most people get to wake up to the sound of birds chirping, or the dawn breaking. In California, you wake up to the sound of leaf blowers. It's life's little pleasures. Don't stop, do it. People say to me, Biff, shut the fuck up. They say, Biff, suck gravy and die, you fucking pig. But I don't listen to them, you know what I mean? I say, hey, I live in this country too. I pay my taxes. I do my fair share of shoplifting to help increase prices, thereby boosting retail sales and consequently helping the whole free enterprise system in general. I hate all the right people, and I'm done for now.
Don't stop, do it. You go to a movie. Movies suck these days. You pay $8-$9 plus parking, plus gas, plus babysitter fees. You sit in the goddamn movie. The trailers are more exciting than the film you're about to see. And you know, believe it or not, this is absolutely true. The other day, I took my wife to go see a film, and goddamned in the fucking lobby, there's a giant sign that says, just like McDonald's value meals, they have this theater's real deal. For $8, you're gonna get 2 large Cokes and a 120-ounce bag of popcorn. Save $1.75. $8?! You can have a lobotomy for $8. In fact, if you spend $8 on 2 Cokes and a 120-ounce bag of popcorn, you probably should have a lobotomy. But it don't stop. Do it. And one more thing. What about Frampton's wah-wah pedal? Think about it. And all the adults on the Charlie Brown cartoons? I think it's Satan's way of contacting the willing. Pretty subtle, huh? Well, I'm listening. How about you?
Dun, 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 dun. Just sit right back and you'll see a show about some idiots. 7 low-budge actors portraying stupid shits. The first mate and the skipper, too, were probably fucking fags. And what about Mr. Magoo? His wife was such a hag. They never showed us Ginger's tits. Why was the professor in it? And finally there was Marianne. I'd fuck her in a minute. Every plot is about someone who looks like a castaway. They land on the island and the fun begins and it all ends up okay. So join us here each week, my friends, and put your brains on hold. You'll wish the storm had sunk their ship before the pilot sold.
Gilligan's Island. Now there's a show.
There's a good one. This is the show that wouldn't die. The show was so bad, and yet there were 3 made-for-TV movies in the 70s and early 80s depicting the further adventures of these folks. Scraping the bottom of the barrel was the Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island. There was a memorable experience. These actors became so typecast they couldn't do anything else for the rest of their lives. Skipper had to open a restaurant and wear his Skipper outfit every night there. And Bob Denver, all he ever did after that was play characters that were like Gilligan, only with a different name. See his agent on that one. Okay, Bob, I understand how you feel, but this isn't like Gilligan's Island at all. No, it's called Dusty's Trail, and you're going to play the dim-witted assistant to the head of a wagon train headed west. There'll be 7 people on this wagon, and each week as they head west, they'll be encountered by wacky and various types of people. But it's not like Gilligan's Island at all, no. In this one, your name is Dusty, see? And you know, the media was worried recently about whether or not Ernie and Bert were portraying a gay couple on Sesame Street. How come no one's dug into this Gilligan Skipper issue? Even the professor had his own hut. And correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Gilligan choose the bottom bunk? What the hell was he thinking there, letting that 375-pound blubber butt sleep above him? What if there was an island earthquake? What if the skipper had chili for dinner? And if I was Gilligan, about the 3rd time the skipper took his hat off and hit me in the face with it, I think I would have punched that motherfucker right in the belly and sent him doubled over to the ground. He'd drop a fucking coconut on his head or something. So maybe these guys were not only gay, they were S&M advocates too. You never know. But anyway, I don't know. And Tower Records is getting rid of cassette tapes. That's right. They've decided to basically stop selling cassette tapes. They feel CDs are the wave of the future and that there's no longer any room for the cassette tape. It's now headed the way of vinyl, the way of 8-tracks, the way of quadrophonic stereo systems. And let me tell you something. It makes me sad. It really does. I didn't give a damn about 8-tracks. I was willing to stick whatever 8-tracks I ended up being able to hold on to because the damn players didn't eat the tapes. Pack them up in a shoebox and put them in the garage. I didn't care about that too much. I was very saddened about the LP, but you know, no one can take that away from me, and as long as I can still have a workable turntable, I can live within my memories in regards to that. But the cassette tape, you know, that was a standard that I thought would last a little bit longer than it did, you know? And I won't even bring up reel-to-reel. You know, I won't even talk about that. But a cynic like me sees through it. You see, the record industry has decided that the younger audience is the one who's spending money on music. And they buy CDs, not cassettes. So, basically, foreclose on the old cassette tape market. Fine. What's next? Get rid of beta? What? What's that? Oh, they already did get rid of beta. Okay, never mind. Anyway, it don't stop. Do it. The other morning, at 4:31, I'm laying in bed. I'm doing what most people do at 4:31 in the morning. Sleeping, drooling on my pillow. All of a sudden, the whole fucking house begins to shake. The goddamn bookcases are rattling against the walls. Things are falling off shelves. The cats are like leaping from the bed. It's later, man. Never saw them again for the next 4 or 5 hours. Yeah, and a 6.6 earthquake, another in the long series of disasters of California. We've been through mudslides, floods, fires, riots, fighting in the streets, police brutality, Whoopi and Ted, and now this! Another goddamn earthquake! Oh, and the media jumped on that one. It's like, oh, the devastation! Bill, I want to show you. This is the most devastating thing I've ever seen. When I look at the crumbled building, when I look at all these cars laying upside down on the freeway, and I think of the deaths that have been caused by this earthquake, I think of only one word, Bill. I think of devastation. Oh, the humanity! Okay, so there were 40 deaths. That's pretty sad, you know. But, boy, they were jumping on this thing like it was the most horrible thing that has happened to California, to any state in the Union. It is just awful.
Didn't last year an earthquake level a foreign country and kill 22 million people? Or, excuse me, 22,000 people? But no, that happened in India or whatever, and they're foreigners, so that doesn't matter. But, hey, the 40 people, and some of these people were fucking heart attack people. You can't handle an earthquake. You shouldn't be living in California. Some of these earthquakes, you know, make the Matterhorn ride at Disneyland look like an instant death treat for heart attack patients. So the rest of the country's watching these newscasts, and they're thinking, oh, those poor people, I'm glad I don't live out there. That's terrible. Meanwhile, I'm looking around my house, and I had a box of hair breadths fall on the ground, and a few things in the garage topple over, and that was it. That was it. I went to the bathroom, I took a shower, I went to work. So what? I'm actually starting to get disappointed after each one of these earthquakes. I'm like, okay, where's the big one? Come on already! I mean, I want to scramble over big, huge mounds of concrete as I'm trying to find my way through the city to find another living soul like Burgess Meredith in that Twilight Zone episode. But it doesn't seem to happen. A few cracks, a couple of chimneys topple over. Oh, the humanity! The devastation! Anyway. Okay, I mean, except for a few, you know, personal, sad stories, the overall damage, the overall impact was pretty disappointing. It really was. It was like going to a bad movie. Walking out of it and saying, what a ripoff. And don't stop doing it. Anyway, listen, I hope you enjoyed this tape, this special earthquake commemorative edition. This is Biff, and I just want you to remember, it don't stop.
Just sit right back and you'll see a show about some idiots. Seven low-budge actors portraying stupid shits. The first mate and the skipper too. I think his name was Dennis. Dennis! Oh, Dennis! Oh. Dennis! He drowned! 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 He drowned!
Let me tell you one thing about Uncle Biff. He smacks me on the head and spits in my cereal. He makes me watch the Baby Brunch all day long. He wants to cut all my hair off and he wants to glue all of my Barbie clothes together.
I'm gonna do Little Bunny Poo Poo. Little Bunny Poo Poo picking up the field. I mean, Little Bunny Poo Poo hopping through the forest. Picking up the field mice and bopping them on the head. Down came the fairy and the fairy said, Little Bunny Poo Poo, I don't like your attitude. Picking up the field mice and bopping them on the head. I'll give you 3 chances, and if not, you not behave, I'm going to turn you into a toad. But the very next day, Little Bunny Poo Poo hopping to the forest, picking up the field mice and bopping them on the head. But down came the fairy, and the fairy said, Little Bunny Poo Poo, I don't like your attitude. Picking up the field mice and bopping them on the head. I'll give you 2 more chances. And if not, I'll turn you into a toad. But the very next day, Little Bunny Poo Poo hopping through the forest. Picking up the field mice and bopping them on the head. But But the fairy came down and the fairy said, "Little bunny foo-foo, I don't like your attitude. Picking up the field mice and bopping them on the head. I'll give you one more chance, and if not, I'll turn you into a toad." But the very next day, little bunny foo-foo, hopping through the forest, picking up the field mice and bopping them on the head. Down came the fairy, and the fairy said nothing, and he turned him into a toad. But the very next day, little toad foo-foo, hopping through the forest, picking up the field mice and hugging them to bits. Let me tell you one thing about Uncle Biff. He smacks me on the head and spits in my cereal. He makes me watch the Baby Brunch all day long. He wants to cut all my hair off and he wants to glue it all to my Barbie clothes together.
Well, I've wasted all this time convincing bosses that I shine so I can be the next in line for a 5-cent pay raise. I should have done like a friend of mine and stepped into the welfare line, 'cause the living's better when you discover not working pays. And that makes me pissed, 'cause I am Biff. My name is Biff, and only if you're nice to me, then I won't kill you. Oh, Biff! My name is Biff. I've got a tiff with every stiff in this stinking hellhole. So if you see me on the street and good morning wish to greet, you better not begin to bleat in a foreign language, 'cause the only one I speak isn't Spanish, French, or Greek. It's English, you stupid fucking bastard. And that makes me pissed. And I am Biff. My name is Biff, and only if you're nice to me, then I won't kill you. Oh, Biff! My name is Biff. I've got a tiff with every stiff in this stinking hellhole. Ow, the ground begins to shake, and the earth begins to quake. I see God, for heaven's sake, as the world falls on me. And when at last awake, there's some faggot fruitcake flake holding a piece of cardboard saying, "I will work for food." I hate 'em! Why don't gang members practice their drive-bys on these fucking turds, for Christ's sakes? Then maybe they wouldn't miss so often, and we wouldn't have to see these handout misfits on every goddamn street corner. It don't stop, do it! Shit, that makes me pissed! 'Cause I am Biff. And only if you're nice to me, then I won't tear your sphincter out with a kitchen knife. Oh, yes, Biff. My name is Biff. And I sport a stiff fucking dick, which I will ram up your backside if any of you creeps try to mess with me, you fucking ignorant, foreign, non-English speaking, tax dollar stealing, unproductive, parasitic vermin.
Okay, this is Biff, and this is my tape, and I want to be the last one you hear. We've had our artsy-fartsy creative writing experiments. We've had our hip song parodies. We've had our smug referential comedy sketches. But now it's back to what really matters, me. I don't have much time left because the tape is running out, so I want to talk fast. I want to tell you a few more things that piss me off. First off, stupid people. I mentioned the earthquake on the other side of the tape. My wife and I turned on the television right after it happened. It's 4:30 in the morning, mind you. The newscaster on the screen looks like he was dragged out of the hallway on his way to the bathroom. His hair's on end, he's wearing thermal underwear, having absolutely no information to go on and nothing to tell us, but needing to be on the air because we expect him to be there. He informs us we must stay off the phones because tying them up with phone calls about, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" could prevent real emergency phone calls from getting through. Then, 10 minutes later, when the professional relief arrives, he bows out saying he's got to call his wife to see if
she and the three kids are okay, and then proceeds to go into the background while the new newscaster tells us absolutely nothing and makes the phone call to his home on the air. Stupid people! Most stupid people are celebrities. People who don't deserve to be in the media limelight. Like, what is Liz Taylor's function? And Barney, that demonic giggling eggplant, that Jurassic dork. Yeah, I'm sick of Barney, but I'm more sick of the people who bash Barney. Z-Time, it's tired stuff. Get off it already. How about Tonya Harding, the ice skater? They keep saying that her bodyguard fingered her. Is this something to be upset about? If I was her, I'd be happy. And the Lorena Bobbitt thing, she gets off on temporary insanity. One of her defense claims was actually that she thought the penis would grow back. Stories and jokes about her make me long to hear things about Michael Jackson just to get off it for a change. And Roseanne. You know why she's fat, don't you? People have been shoving food in her mouth all her life just to shut that voice of hers up. And God, let me ask you this about God. If God is all-powerful and he can do anything and create anything, can he make something so heavy and big he can't lift it? And does super glue stick to Teflon? Did you ever feel better about yourself just by looking at someone else? I was sad because of what I didn't do with my life until I found out what happened to the people that I did grow up with. One's dead of AIDS, one's a male stripper, one's worked in a lube pit for the last 20 years, one still has an acne problem, and one has traded in his hopes, dreams, and ambitions to scan groceries for the last decade and a half. Gee, I wonder who that could be. And I have to work with this guy, Malcolm, who drinks 3 plantations of coffee a day. He's from Burma, he looks like Haji with Ross Perot's ears. I gotta get out of here. This is the land of forced valet parking. I mean, it's like, who in their right mind is saying to themselves, gee, I don't feel like driving the last 15 feet into a parking space. I think I'll pay someone to do it for me. It don't stop. Do it.